Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studios.
This is Jake and Stacy on 710 ESPN Seattle. Streaming live on the 710 Sports app and at 710sports.com.
Now, here are your hosts, Jake Heaps and Stacy Ross.
All right. You guys have been excited for this one. I've been seeing the Mac and Jack's text line, 710-710, heating up. People ready with questions, and you can keep sending them in. Kenny Mayne, SportsCenter anchor, joining us now. I mean, I don't even want to say local legend. Clearly a local legend, but also obviously national. Kenny, I am obviously so psyched to have you here. I'm just happy that you managed to remember in time. I was a little worried there until Jake tweeted something.
Yeah, that was a crucial element of the day.
Exactly.
I was loading my car with cardboard. I was going to go to the garbage dump because Gretchen's ordered so many things from Amazon that it's like can't even walk in under hers at this point. I used to take my own garbage and then discontinued that. We had a landfill close by. It was kind of fun to control your own garbage dumping. That's a far more important job than my job, I'll tell you that.
Well, Kenny, thrilled to have you on with us. Thanks for joining us. How are you feeling today? I mean, today's your last broadcast working with ESPN and doing your SportsCenter gig, and it has been obviously a thrill to watch you here locally for everybody. We all claim you, obviously, very near and dear to our heart, but how are you feeling today?
I think mixed. I don't know. It's been pretty calm so far. I had stuff to do. Like, I had errands, still do, actually. I'm still trying to make it to the damn garbage dump. I don't know if that's going to happen now. Not because of you guys. I think I have to pick up Bryn. That's my stepdaughter after lacrosse. I just ordered pho or pho, however people say that. That was a little off topic.
It's delicious.
You asked how am I feeling.
It's an important topic.
I already told you what am I doing. But what I'm doing is how I'm feeling. I just talked to Aaron Rodgers, name drop, and he was just confirming, like, what are we doing? I said, why don't we not worry about this? I trust you. You trust me. Let's see where it goes. That is a weird one by itself because he agreed, as did a few other friends who I've come to know through all these 27 years, Sue Bird, Jamal Crawford, Marshawn Lynch, and Fred McGriff, because for those who watch SportsCenter, we always kind of joke about the old Tom Amansky defensive drills training video. So that's a solid cast. And there's like 100 more. How long can the show go on? But with Aaron being in the news, obviously, kind of X factor there. Is he going to say anything? Am I going to just talk about UFOs? Like, what in the hell is going to happen? I think we should do a live, personally, like this, and drop in. And here's the Cubs Marlins, if they're playing. I didn't know it was playing today. But, right, like just let the whole thing be kind of the crazy Aaron Rodgers experience, and then go to Marshawn in Oakland, see what happens next.
I mean, I think what you should do, Kenny.
We're going to tape them.
I was going to say, I think you should, like, invite Aaron out, and then you guys can go to the dump together. And, like, the interview is while you guys are doing that.
That would be a good show. Thank you. I'll give you a cut. We're going to pitch that show. Aaron and I going to various garbage dumps around the country.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I used to be a garbage man.
Wait, did you really?
Running errands. We just got, there's the title to the show. Running errands.
I mean, I'm expecting royalties.
In college, I went to Wenatchee. Well, first I went to Washington. I walked on, then I walked off. Then I went to Wenatchee Valley Community College, Sandy Cooperrider. Don Coryell coached there way back when, and then ended up at UNLV. But when I was in JC, this guy next to me, Steve Caputo was his name. His brother played for the Huskies a bit. Said, hey, you look like you can throw a 16-pound bowling ball. Do you want to be a garbage man? That was all it took, So I was a garbage man. And then after Channel 11, I was needing some, money to pay the bills, and called the same thing up, but at that point, all they had for me was to assemble garbage cans, and they certainly picked the wrong guy. I'm like the least mechanical. Gretchen puts everything together. I have no shot, but I made garbage cans for a few months back in, what year was that, 1989?
Wow.
And then I got hired by ESPN somehow.
Kenny, you're selling yourself short a little bit in terms of your story and everything that you've gone through. Loved reading your op-ed that you put out there in the LA Times, and the determination that you had and the badgering that you kept, going through to get ESPN to recognize you, give you a shot, give you an opportunity. What was that process like for you in the moment, and now being able to look back on it all? How worth it was that to continue to keep going through that, even through some tough times?
Well, I think I appreciate it even more. And again, like I think I do okay at what I do. Like I think I can write and I'm halfway okay on TV, but you had to get people to believe that, right? And you're somebody assembling garbage cans and selling prepaid legal insurance in Redmond, I think it was. And then I worked for MCI selling long distance at the Columbia Center there, Columbia Tower. And all the while, I'm still trying to get back on TV. That seemed preposterous. Like there were people like, what in the hell are you seriously thinking to go to ESPN? You're selling long distance right now. But I just kept pushing it. They would call me up as I was kind of like their permanent Seattle freelancer, right? They'd say, hey, Griffey hit two homers. Go interview Griffey or Gary Payton or whoever it was, right? And I would kind of do like extra credit. Like it's kind of dorky sounding, but I always tell people like, you know, shoot for the moon. Like worst they could do is say no. And they said no for 4 years, except that they kept stringing me along, right? So, you know, clearly I was kind of like recognized by them as being good enough to do the little bit I was doing, but not good enough to bring back and be full-time. And when ESPN2 came about, they needed more people. It's actually, I owe it to Keith Olbermann and Stuart Scott, because Keith quit ESPN2 and went back to one to be with Dan on the late SportsCenter. Stuart moved up from the little smash position, they called it. It was like the update guy. And, you know, same thing on radio, right? You bring in somebody, a two-minute update, whatever. So we did it on TV. And when Stuart moved up to be next to Susie, they needed one more guy. And after 4 years of, you know, persistence, they was like, what the hell, let's give this guy a try.
Didn't look back since. It's awesome, Kenny. And now, Kenny, since that moment, you have taken off and ran with an amazing career here at ESPN. And you know, looking back on some of these moments, I'm sure there's so many that it's really hard to pinpoint, but what are some of your favorite moments? I mean, for me as a former athlete and other athletes, they talk about, you know, the locker room and missing, you know, that interaction in the locker room every single day. What is something that you'll miss about that experience there at ESPN, the great run that you guys had on SportsCenter?
Oh, for sure. I mean, you know, it's kind of cliche, but it's just true. All the relationships, I'm going to continue those, right, with a lot of the people, because I'm actually staying back here because my stepdaughter, Gretchen's daughter, is only ninth grade, so we're not going anywhere. I will go elsewhere for whatever work I end up doing and just kind of make this headquarters. I still have a place in Seattle, which I can't wait to get to on what day, Tuesday? I don't know. Coming there soon. Not tomorrow Tuesday, but a week.
Yeah.
But yeah, definitely, like, you know, just a lot, even like the tougher times, you know, like staying till 4 a.m. to fix a show when there was a 19-inning baseball game and you have to stay till it's all done. Just the ridiculousness of all those moments, the laughing fits and just good people who really care. Like, that's the one thing I've made clear more than anything, if I could. You know, there's no malice here. Like, I wish them all well. They're going to continue to do great stuff. They have great people, and the work ethic is so good. So I'm just going to go do some other stuff, and it's all good. We can leave, part company as friends.
Yeah.
But as far as the things I got to do, man, the list is really long. The wider world of sports, we got to go around the world and do all these crazy sports, the paleo and road bowling in Ireland and doing Main Street, they called it, the little situation comedy. We had Aubrey Plaza and Alison Becker and John Glazer and Ben Schwartz, all these really good actors that have all gone on to do good things. Let me think. A singular moment, I got Stevie Wonder to say, I can't be at the All-Star game. I have a high ankle sprain. That was his line. And he murdered it in one take.
That's awesome.
And then he started to walk away. And I say, when's the album coming out? And he turned back and goes, soon. And he kept walking.
Legend. Legendary.
Yeah, there's nothing would top that.
Kenny, I feel like this is going to sound like a really stereotypical cliche question, but I do mean it. I think one thing that I love about you, that everyone clearly loves about you, is you're incredibly authentic. You always seem to be yourself. Not only do you just seem to say the first thing that comes to your mind, but it's always funny and relevant, which is like, I don't know how you do it. Do you feel like that's been kind of the key to what you've been able to do over your career? Like, I just try to be myself and not anyone else?
Precisely. Like, I think a lot of people try to take on some other character, and that's okay if that's kind of your thing. You know, I'm going to be the crazy weatherman or, you know, whatever your little gag is.
Yeah.
That's fine if they want to play that role. But I just try not to screw it up. Honestly, like, you know, what is the expression? First, do no harm. You know, get the hockey guy's name right. There's a way to minimize that, by the way, and I'll explain that tonight.
Please do.
Say the thing you know to say, but don't say the things you don't, you know, when you're – and I admittedly would – you know, if I needed help on something, I'd ask for help. If, you know, football, I didn't need help. Horse racing, I didn't need help. But we had such a great team around us to, you know, kind of like learn you up if you needed a little assistance to get through things. Interviewing Marshawn or Aaron or Jamal or Sue or Fred McGriff, you know, we're not going to write questions. I'm just going to talk to them like human beings like we are right now. Mm-hmm. And I think that was the key. Like, you know, it is artificial that you have makeup on and not as much these days. And, you know, you're wearing a tie and you have to get the scores right. And, you know, that part's artificial because you're kind of playing broadcaster, if you will. But in between, you know, try to be yourself. I mean, and also going back to what you asked about earlier, just kind of the perseverance. It's just a good lesson for everybody. Like, ninth grade, I played fifth quarter football. That was for the players who weren't good enough to play in the four quarters, right? In fifth quarter football. And I broke my leg that year, too. So I turned out for sophomore football. I'm like 5'8", 135 pounds. But I wanted to play in the worst way. Like, that was the one thing. I knew I could throw a football, even if I'm 5'8", 135. And by my junior year, I was 6'2", 135 or 40 or something, and kind of grew into myself and ended up playing college football. And I could have easily, not that I was any big star, but, you know, went to school for free. I was that good, whatever that is, Division I A. And I never regretted, you know, doing any of it. I wish I'd played better for Coach Knapp, but, you know, just putting yourself out there and not being afraid to fail, that's a good lesson, whatever thing you're doing, right? Like, I quoted it in that article you were referring to in the LA Times. I said Nick DeZito, the famous horse race trainer, he had finished second in the Belmont, I think like 8 times or some ridiculous number, and they were giving him a hard time about never winning. He's like, well, second's pretty good. And he kind of paused and he said, you know what? You can't even lose if you don't enter. And I think I've lived by that all my life, and particularly after hearing it.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Shoot for the moon.
That is awesome, Kenny. And, you know, one of the things that I credit you with a lot in the game, in the anchor game, sports anchor game, or just sports, you know, entertainment in general, is bringing your personality through rather than your knowledge, right? And it was something that also you kind of...
Are you calling me stupid?
No, I am not,
he
Kenny.
Is.
He I am.
Is Kenny.
I am talking about. I am talking about the fact that you, when you went through your process. You know, I love that you went on to your interview with ESPN, and they...
We care greatly about doing it right. You know, we don't go out there and just totally screw around. You try to insert, you know, your call of the home run or your silly little lines on the dunk or whatever we do, or the jokes that just come up, right? Like, stuff happens in the course of a show. You're not prepared for it at all. We don't read off teleprompters except for the long lead-ins to, like, a feature story or the hi, hello, or whatever. The rest of it, you got notes, and you got your experience, and you got the moment. Mm-hmm. So... when you don't know, you know, like the other night, there was a hockey player with the most ridiculous name I'd never seen in my life. And I just, you know, he doesn't like to be identified individually. He's more of a team guy. So I'm not going there with his name right now, you know, and I fake my way through 12 seconds, right? So sometimes it's the emergency pull like that. But absolutely, you should be as diligent as you can for any job. And this one, you're on live TV. So if you don't know something, like during the commercial, I'll sprint over to the researcher and whisper like, hey, shit, you know, like the other guy might be talking even, and you get it right. So we always want to be right, and the times we're not, you kind of you correct it or you apologize for it or you dance around it.
Kenny, last question for me. You know, one of the interviews, and you've developed so many relationships, cool relationships in this field, but the one that so many people gravitate towards, and especially here in Seattle because it's near and dear to our heart, is Marshawn Lynch. Describe that relationship, and why have you guys connected? Why have you guys had this, you know, really fun relationship between the two of you?
Well, I was going to say the same thing to him as one of the questions with him tonight of just how wrongly he was characterized by a lot of people, including ESPN, including a lot of others who weren't close. We met each other when he was a rookie. We did that ridiculous Applebee's story, if you want to Google that. Put in his name and Applebee's, and you'll see it. And I don't know, we just kind of hit it off. Like, we got, you know, we didn't really keep track of each other for a bunch of years till he came to Seattle, but we did a couple more things, shot a commercial with him. But it was just like, kind of going back to what you were asking about earlier, just being genuine, you know, like, he didn't see me as a threat. Like, what's up, Marshawn? You know, like, I didn't come to him, you know, attacking or trying to get something from him. It was just human being. And he's done so many good things. Like, the list is his foundation down in Oakland. He's helped in Seattle as well with kids. Backpacks, books, food. He hands out cell phones to homeless people. He showed up at a Special Olympics event in Seattle before the big games, you know, the summer. What was that, 2 summers ago, I think? Mm-hmm. And they didn't expect him to show because he wasn't with the Seahawks anymore. And he was on the list originally, but there he is. He's walking around the corner. I think he flew up on his own. So he's as genuine a person as I've met. Jamal Crawford being another one. We've developed a great friendship. And Sue Bird. I mean, everybody who's on the interview list tonight, I have some kind of relationship for just how we've treated each other, I guess.
You keep mentioning just kind of like being a human and focusing on the human aspect of your job. And me hearing it, I think like, yeah, that's something that I as a viewer, not just of SportsCenter or sports media in general, but I feel like it's a little bit of something that's missing. Is there anything that you hope you see more of kind of as you move on to the next phase of your life, but you look back at sports media in general, the way that whether we cover things, we interview players, we talk to each other, is there something you kind of hope you see more of?
I mean, as a consumer, sometimes because everything, you know, is so immediate, people, somebody says a sentence and all of a sudden it's on Twitter 13 seconds later, right? Like, yeah. And everybody jumps, you know, they all call it, what's the expression, clickbait or whatever, right? So less of that, I guess I would vote for. I mean, take long. Somebody mentioned the LA Times thing the other day on Twitter and said it was so damn long. And I was like, hey, it wasn't that long. It wasn't a book. It wasn't a magazine article. People are so, they just want instant gratification on.
It's like a goldfish memory.
12 seconds long. I'm done. I'm moving on to the next thing. And I think our attention span has suffered, and it also loses the depth of any story, you know, no matter what the story is, even just a game result, you know, like there's more to everything than oftentimes we give it time for.
Yeah. Yeah. Awesome stuff. Kenny, we wish we could keep you longer, but we know that you've got to go break down some boxes, and the text line is encouraging me to tell you to recycle them. I don't know. I'm just passing it along. I'm just the messenger. Don't shoot the messenger.
That's where I'm headed.
Okay.
And,
wonderful.
We're on after the baseball game tonight, ESPN regular.
Yes.
Provided there's not seven more no-hitters or the game goes 21 innings. That would be something. If the game went so long, I don't even come on. That anything could happen.
You never know. There's also some stuff I need to tell you guys about runfreely.org. I'll get to that, but we got to let Kenny go. Kenny, thank you so much.
Thanks.
Seriously, we appreciate it.
Oh, by the way, real quick, on
yes.
the Run Freely.
Yeah.
Since the announcement I put out like 2 weeks ago today, right, the 10th,
mm-hmm.
we've raised, and this is for veterans to get them running and walking without pain, we raised enough to get two more veterans. The people did that.
Absolutely
so,
phenomenal.
Wow.
We are
awesome.
Very fortunate.
Awesome.
Amazing. Kenny, that first of all, thank you for that. And secondly, just thank you for joining us and even giving us the time. You've got a busy one today.
All right. Be well. Thanks.
Go kill
thank
it, Kenny.
You. All right. Don't forget, it's not too late to enter to win a 710 ESPN Seattle smart speaker at 710sports.com/win. We're still giving them away every day in the month of May. Then all you have to do is say, hey, play 710 ESPN Seattle to your brand new smart speaker, and you can listen to all of our shows all day long. It is time for a very quick Four Down Territory brought to you by Genuine Auto Glass.
This is Four Down Territory brought to you by Genuine Auto Glass
with Jake and Stacy.
You live for moments like this. Time for us to step up and take it.
All right, first down here, Jake. OTA start this week. Which Seahawk player are you wanting to hear about the most?
Two players that I want to hear about that I'm desperately anxious to hear about is one, Gerald Everett, tight end. Newly acquired tight end from the Rams. I want to hear Pete Carroll, Russell Wilson talking about Gerald Everett. You know, what does he bring to the table? How excited are they to utilize him in this offense? We know that DK Metcalf, Tyler Lockett are outstanding. One of the things that was missing was the production from that tight end group. So I'm very anxious to hear about what they think and what they're saying about Gerald Everett. The second one is in year two, Jordan Brooks. What steps can he take to replace KJ Wright at that Will linebacker position, hold it down, and take those necessary steps that we saw him in the second half of the season start to play better, play downhill, play more confidently in pass coverage. I want to hear how his progression is going. Him and Bobby Wagner could potentially be one of the better linebacker duos that we have seen here in Seattle, which is tough to replace when you've seen KJ Wright and Bobby Wagner do it at such a high level for such a long time.
Second down. Stacy.
DJ.
I almost said Jedi Stacy, but
okay.
What else did DK Metcalf say in his podcast interview that stood out to you?
Okay, once again, this was on Victory, the podcast. It's an Entourage podcast. There was a section when he talked about his relationship with Pete Carroll. We didn't get into it earlier in our show when we were talking about DK's interview, but if you are a Seahawks fan, all of you are, I do recommend going to check it out. It's just a couple minutes, but he talks about how Pete Carroll has just kind of allowed him to be himself, and I think it's another interesting bit of insight into the Seahawks culture, into the relationship between coaches and players at the NFL level, but also specifically in Seattle. And credit to Pete Carroll for continuing to kind of let players find ways to be uniquely themselves. Mm-hmm. He doesn't get enough credit in that regard. And so props to him for that one. It's a great interview. Go check it out.
Third down. Jake, what new insight did we get on the Richard Sherman situation?
Well, Pete Carroll on the Rich Eisen show actually commented about this in cut number 6.
At this point, I don't have that in our plans, okay. But yet it's never out of my mind. And I love our guys for all of the time we spent together and all that we went through together, the ups, the downs, the challenges. It was just life, you know, that we've lived and we've shared a life in this world of football. And I'm really grateful for the relationships of those guys that have played in the past. And I mean, look what happened with Marshawn a couple years back. Man, right. That was freaking awesome, you know. When he came back and almost scored the winning touchdown in the game, you know, that was such a marvelous story. We were inches away from that being the storybook. And who knows, you know, you never know what's going to happen. You know, I haven't heard from Marshawn in a while, but, you know, that could be just as much of a story as any of them.
So when you have Richard Sherman being linked, as Pete Carroll's playfully saying about Marshawn Lynch, hey, we haven't heard from Marshawn in a while. That tells you that the possibility of Richard Sherman being a Seahawk is slim to none, and we will see what the market ends up going like for Richard Sherman. Maybe he's available when training camp starts. Maybe he's a free agent still during the season, and if there happens to be an injury, maybe they bring on Richard Sherman. So Sherman is at an interesting crossroads in his career right now in terms of how he's being valued and looked at by the rest of the NFL. And so never say never, but right now, as Pete Carroll said, Richard Sherman isn't necessarily a part of their plans, their immediate plans for continuing to build this roster out.
Fourth down. All right, quickly here, Jake. What makes you believe Seahawks defensive back DJ Reed has what it takes to take the next step at corner?
Well, DJ Reed in an interview had a very... You know, he pulled back the curtain in terms of his first start at the outside cornerback spot against the Washington football team. Here's what he had to say about it.
You know, when I'm playing against, you know, good receivers, it gets it, you know, cranked up a little more. I just felt like during that week, I just felt a lot of nervous energy from my team, particularly the coaches, because we're playing against a good receiver. And I didn't like that, so I took it as a challenge, like, I'm going to dominate whoever I'm playing against, and I just went out there and had a great game.
I love that chip on his shoulder. I love the fact that he actually felt that nervous energy from the coaches, from players around him, and rightfully so. DJ Reed coming off an injury. You don't know what this guy's going to do. There's been injuries left and right on the outside cornerback spots. Dunbar, Shaquille Griffin, they're down, right? Mm-hmm. And now they're having to put DJ Reed out there at 5'9 at the outside cornerback position, and he has a game and dominates and eventually became your most productive cornerback towards the end of the season. So I love the attitude, the feistiness, the grit that he possesses, along with his instincts to read and react. And I thought that he played that coverage and played that defense exactly how Pete Carroll designs it, and I'm excited to see what he can do in year two with this defense.
Okay, once again, I just want to be able to mention that Kenny Mayne's charity is runfreely.org. I forgot to mention it earlier. It is an amazing foundation to help our veterans be able to walk and run pain-free. There's all kinds of information, runfreely.org. You can also donate at the website. Once again, thank you to Kenny Mayne for joining us. That was an amazing interview. Coming up in the timeline, Shannon Sharp calls Julio Jones during a live broadcast of Undisputed, and he may or may not have known he was live because he said something pretty interesting. That's coming your way next.
This is The Timeline
with Jake and Stacey.
Brought to you by 1-800-DUIOA.
Okay, we need to, before we get to our stories in The Timeline here, my chair got really high. I'm lowering it. We need to talk about how crazy it is that we just got to talk to Kenny Mayne. I don't normally get nervous. Every single question I was like, Kenny Mayne is so authentic and so himself that I was like, I don't know what to say. Every question I asked, I was like, why did you ask that, you idiot? Be cooler. Be cool. Like, just trying to think of a cool question to ask. I was like, what's wrong with you?
Which is,
what are you going to... And then I was just asking him about the dump. Like, get out of here. I didn't know what to talk about.
Hey, he talked a while about
I could talk about the dump for a long time.
Yeah.
My stepdad's a huge fan.
Oh, a huge fan. Yeah. So I love the fact that, one, you know, he's got this big monumental day, and he's just... Look, he's feeling it. Filling it with everyday normal stuff and
talking to us,
and really what I think he's doing is he's just trying to do as much as he possibly can so he doesn't have to think about,
yeah,
you know, what's going to happen later on today. which I think is smart, but it was really cool for him to take the time to hang out with us and talk through it and talk through, you know, kind of reminisce a little bit with us. And, you know, you pointed out in the break, really cool to talk to somebody like that who has had such a long career in this business, mm-hmm. but is 100% himself.
I don't know how he does it.
Right? I mean, like, you have so many of these media personalities today that they're just trying to be as perfectly buttoned up as possible and try and deliver the most impactful, intense, monumental answers, right? Whereas you have Kenny who's just like, hey, I am who I am, and this is what I do, and I love being myself, and hopefully that's enough, right? Mm-hmm. He works extremely hard at what he does, but ultimately when it comes down to it, it was just himself. And I think that's what I love about him, and I love about some of those older ESPN sport anchor personalities is that, and it's also the different way that we consume sports media now with social media and everything else, but like you would go and sit down at the end of the day, watch SportsCenter, mm-hmm. and just you just wanted to be entertained. You just wanted to enjoy and consume sports and have fun with whoever was leading that day. And Kenny Mayne and the rest of that crew, I mean, they were fantastic, fantastic at that stuff.
Well, and a just fantastic person, great interview, so friendly. I think his relationships speak for it too, right? Like, you don't maintain great relationships like that with people who have no reason to trust media members unless they're like, this is a good dude. Like, this is a good dude that I can talk to.
Yeah.
And so I hope that he continues in some form or fashion to kind of help us be able to see some of those relationships, because that's one of my favorite things about him. Not only that he's hilarious,
mm-hmm.
but that he can get people to show them a side of you that you haven't seen as just a regular consumer of sports. Like,
right.
He is so uniquely gifted at that.
He is. And I think that he'll do something that everybody's going to want to pay attention to, and everybody will follow close. And I imagine that's what he will do. I mean, he's such a great storyteller, off the cuff, off color type of storyteller, where you got some fun moments, like the interviews that he had with Marshawn over the years, and you know, being able to get Aaron Rodgers, who's very hard to kind of open up and have fun with. So I think that when you look at Kenny Mayne and his career, legendary career, I mean, I still don't understand how we were able to land him on this day, like his last day.
Okay, I'm glad you said that, because I want to tell you guys that I'm back here eating a snack during the break, and Jake comes back in here and turns to DJ and goes, you know, DJ, love you, man, but like, how do you get Kenny Mayne to come on the show?
That's right. Yeah, all credit to Curtis Rogers, who of course is not here because he's on paternity leave.
Right.
But yeah, all credit to him. He provided contact information. I just did the rest.
Shout out to C-Rog. Thank you, DJ, for getting him on. That was really fun for everybody, for us interviewing him, and hopefully for you guys as you were listening. That was really, really fun.
Let me jump to two of these stories. First, Shannon Sharp called Julio Jones during a live broadcast of Undisputed. Take a listen here.
What's going on, bro?
Man, nothing much. About to go meet up with my brother. What's happening with you?
Man, look. You want to go to the Cowboys, Julio? Or you want to stay in Atlanta?
Oh, man. No, I'm out of there, man.
You
He's
out of there?
He's out of there.
Are you going to... Ideally, where would you like to go?
Right now, I want to win.
Okay. Dallas. Well, don't go to Dallas. If you go, you ain't winning in Dallas, Julio.
Now,
there's no way he didn't know. Right,
Stacey, are you sure?
Because
the setup,
I'm not
is,
sure.
Shannon said, hey, I'm going to call Julio Jones right now. Calls him up on his phone. They have it hooked up to the studio and all that kind of stuff. But when Shannon Sharp is talking, DJ, can you play like the first 5 seconds of that cut? Just like the open. Shannon and Julio are very, this is not a normal interview or a normal open to an interview.
What's going on, bro?
Man, nothing much. Got to go meet up with my brother. What's happening with you?
That is not an interview, Stacey. That is a cold call, Julio answering the phone and saying, hey, like, I think I'm talking off air. Like, I am fully convinced that that was an off the air kind of conversation that Julio Jones thought he was having with Shannon Sharp.
But then you ruin your relationship with that person. Like,
yeah,
if I call a friend and I say, hey, spill the beans on this, I don't think it was. I don't think.
Yeah, he might. I mean, Shannon Sharp at this point of his career, like, obviously you
He's
don't
like,
want to burn
I'm
a bridge,
Shannon
but
Sharp,
like, yeah,
I'm rich and famous.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, who knows? I mean, maybe it's a mistake that he'll learn from, but that did not sound like a normal interviewer that Julio Jones knew that he was on the air. Like, I just have a really hard time believing that unless they perfectly schemed that up and scripted it out, which they could have. But Julio Jones, I mean, talking about, hey, I'm going to meet up with my brother. How are, you know, like, it seemed like a very off the cuff answer that wasn't meant to hear for live TV.
All right, one major NFL star not showing up to OTAs. No word yet on what's happening with a few other teams in the NFC West, but here's my question. Is it cause for concern that veteran players aren't showing up at OTAs, and is that standoff going to end? That's coming your way next.
You're listening to Jake and Stacy,
powered through the Alaska Airlines Studios.
Streaming live on the 710 Sports app and at 710sports.com.
Now, here are your hosts, Jake Heaps and Stacy Rost.
This hour of Jake and Stacy is brought to you by the Pro Club. Is it cause for concern if some veteran players aren't showing up for OTAs? And Jake, when is that standoff going to finally end? He's Jake Heaps. I'm Stacy Rost. DJ Wilder on the board. Tom Pelissero reported 2 hours ago that at least 22 teams have modified plans for OTAs starting this week after discussions between players and coaches. That includes reduced tempo and or the number of practices. Some vets still staying away, though. But, he adds, after weeks of boycott talks and statements, many are showing up. The Seahawks are among those teams with OTAs today. No word yet on whether or not a couple notable veterans are there. Everyone's obviously watching to see, is Russell Wilson showing up? Is Bobby Wagner showing up? Who's going to be there and who will be missing? A couple guys are on the league, a couple stars around the league are going to be sitting out OTAs for right now. Again, OTAs are voluntary, as a reminder. Tom Pelissero also reports that Deshaun Watson of the Texans will not attend OTAs and still wants to be traded. And Adam Schefter and multiple others have reported that Aaron Rodgers is not showing up for the start of the Packers OTAs today.
Yeah, this is going to be one of those watches that you have over the next couple of days in the next week to really see what every NFL team is going to do. Like, for example, the Buccaneers and Tom Brady, they're pretty, you know, they're pretty dug in terms of their stance on showing up to OTAs. I'll be curious to see if that changes as time goes on, but I think that they're pretty solid in terms of not showing up at all, and maybe showing up for mandatory minicamp. The Seahawks seem to be dug in as well in terms of the players. I do think that that could potentially change. And Pete kind of alluded to the idea that, you know, we are looking into modifying our offseason plan and trying to work with the players on this, and that they're officially starting their OTAs today. None of the vets are going to show up. None of the higher profile vets are going to show up. I think that Russell Wilson, Bobby Wagner, and the rest of the veteran group are pretty much in lockstep there in terms of how they want to approach it. But I know that Pete Carroll and the coaching staff and everybody's going to keep working on those guys to try and get them there. I mean, they're anxious to coach them, anxious to see them, anxious to work with them. And I think that it's going to be, I believe, a really interesting sticking point for the players and for the NFLPA, Stacy, as they move forward. They've been able to get away with this, so to speak, because of COVID, right? And the NFL, I believe, has allowed this to work out this way because of COVID. Next year, I don't think they're going to be as lenient or work with the players as much in terms of modifying the offseason as they have been this year and this time around. But that remains to be seen. We'll see.
And that's part of a bigger, obviously, like, labor issue that Albert Breer hints at in his Monday Morning Quarterback column. He says that both Packers quarterback Aaron Rodgers, who I already told you isn't showing up, and Russell Wilson are not expected to report for Phase 3 today. Phase 3 is today's series of OTAs. He says that's not about their individual situations. Seahawks and Packers players are staying away until agreements can be reached on how OTAs looks. Like Jake said, they're not the only two teams who are looking at this. The NFLPA as a whole, which represents all NFL players, sent out those series of statements about wanting to get this figured out. And Jim Tretter made it clear, look, this isn't just about COVID. Like, these are about work changes that we've been wanting to make for a while. And the NFL is focused on a way of preparing for games that may not be as useful anymore or may not be what we need in today's NFL. And let's talk about whether or not we need to change that. Like, why are we doing things just because we've always done it that way?
Right.
Why not change it up? And so I think that that's part of the conversation that's happening. As juicy as the stuff going on in Green Bay is, and don't get me wrong, I've been saying, like, Aaron Rodgers to the Broncos for a while now. Like, I'm not dropping this story. I also would buy that is somewhat also related to some of the labor questions that are going on with players, and I would highly doubt that he's the only veteran to not show.
Well, for sure. And the other aspect of this is that, look, you can try and be an advocate for change, but ultimately, Stacey, you signed a 10-year labor agreement. And then all of a sudden, in the middle of your labor agreement, you want to, you know, put a boycott on, you want to put a strike, and you want to advocate for change. You're dealing with some of the toughest businessmen in the country when it comes to the NFL. And I think that they're letting this go on for these couple years. I don't think that they're gonna really give the NFLPA an opportunity to have any wiggle room when it comes to this conversation. The NFL is an ongoing product and can dominate the entire offseason because of stuff like the OTAs. As simple as that, having OTA practices, having mandatory minicamp, having rookie minicamp where you're able to have 80 players. Guess what? We show up to that. We report on it. It is a thing that continues to keep that media cycle going, right? And the NFL knows that. They don't want to lose out on that. And the players are more concerned about their health and safety, right, first and foremost. And also, I think the veteran players are looking out for themselves and not really necessarily looking out for the entire union, looking out for the, you know, the 70%, 80% of their labor union that needs these types of practices, needs every single opportunity to be in front of the coaching staff. But, you know, bringing this back to Seattle, I think when you look at Russell Wilson, Bobby Wagner, the rest of this veteran group, they're looking at so far what Pete Carroll has proposed. And I believe it's a little bit different than some of the other agreements that we've seen around the NFL. Some of the other agreements that you've seen around the NFL, no 11 on 11. They're not even going to have mandatory mini camp. They are simply getting guys together, going through walkthroughs, getting offense and defensive sides together out on the field, and that's it. And they're departing after a week, maybe even 2 weeks. Whereas I think Pete Carroll wants to have a little bit more of a ramped up OTA. And so I'll be curious to see how that conversation continues with the veteran players and Pete Carroll and the coaching staff. I know that the veteran players aren't going to be showing up this week. I think it's still TBD every single week, Stacey, but I know for a fact they won't be showing up this week.
I can understand why someone would say, hey, Russell Wilson, how are you going to complain during the offseason and then not show up for OTAs? Or, hey, Bobby Wagner, how are you going to make $18 million and then not show up for OTAs? That being said, I don't buy into the idea that not showing up for voluntary practices when you're clearly training in the offseason or being part of those labor conversations because you can afford to do so makes you a bad leader. Like, you haven't seen these guys missing games. You haven't seen these guys sitting out of regular season practices. I just think that sometimes our, particularly in football, and I get where it comes from, but particularly in football, our conversations about what makes a good leader, like, sometimes there's stuff in there where I'm like, I don't know about that one. Like, I feel like you can be a great leader and also be part of these labor conversations and say, well, like, hey, it's not asking. No one in the NFL that is as good as Russell Wilson and Bobby Wagner isn't working hard. You think these guys just sit around and watch TV and then show up and they're just so physically gifted that they become all pros and pro bowlers? No. But I do think it's also, I am empathetic to where some of those questions come from fans.
Yeah. Would I prefer them to be in the building right now? Yeah, absolutely I would. Especially when you have a new offense. And especially defensively, it's not like you have everything on lock. This isn't the Legion
Far
of Boom.
Far from it.
Right? There are still things to be worked out. So would I like for them to be at the building? Of course I would. But I also do think that they can be productive away from it. I do think that they can have an impact away from it, getting guys together in their own way, training the way that they want to. And this isn't just Russell Wilson, Bobby Wagner. They're the figureheads of it. But you have a very, very veteran-heavy team as well. I mean, think about it. Dwayne Brown. Do you think Dwayne Brown wants to show up? No. He's 36 years old. He wants to train and keep his body in shape the way that he wants to, right? You've got a group that I think is very lockstep in the way that they want to approach OTAs, and it could change at a moment's notice, but I would think that it could possibly change a week from now, maybe 2 weeks from now. But this week, I think the Seahawks are going to remain with the other 10 teams that have not reported for OTAs.
Yeah, I think that's exactly how I'm feeling about it too. All right, so we had an interview that we played the other day, Pete Carroll was on with Rich Eisen. We took another listen to it, and there's something that Jake heard. And from that interview, Jake said, you know what? He didn't say it clearly. He did not say it, but I am telling you, after this interview that I listened to, Pete Carroll is not trading Russell Wilson. He'll tell you why next.